fountain of life. Good morning. Let's stand all over this place. I don't know about you, but I didn't come here this morning to have church. I'm here to encounter Jesus this morning. Are you here to encounter Jesus? All over this place, let's lift up our hands and let's just begin to call on the name of Jesus. Come on, just forget who's on your left and your right and just begin to cry out to Him. If you have your prayer language, begin to pray right now. Father, we thank you for your power in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. We're not coming for a service. We're not coming just for a gathering. We're not a social community. But Father, we're a Holy Ghost filled community. So God, we declare right now that the Holy Ghost and fire would hit us from the front to the back. Come on, just invite him. Open up your mouth this morning. Open up your mouth. Begin to praise him right where you're at. Begin to praise him. God, you're so good. Father, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You're so worthy. Come on, praise him. Come on, right there, right here. Praise him right now. Father, we pray from the front to the back. Holy Ghost, that you would invade our hearts, that you would invade our minds. God, we need more of you. In this day, in this hour, we don't need another service. We don't need another gathering. We don't need an agenda. Father, we want your agenda for the service this morning. Holy Ghost, come. Do something new on the inside of us. Come on, God wants to do something new in you. I pray right now that weariness is shaken off. Come on, some of you have come in here weary. God wants you to shake it off. Shake it off. Fear's got to be shaken off this morning. Anxiety's got to be shaken off this morning. Oh, we shake it off. We shake it off. Come on, somebody get excited about God's deliverance this morning. Somebody get excited about what God is going to do in you. God's going to do a new thing in you today. He's going to do a new thing in me. So Holy Spirit, we say come. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, break every box that we've put you in. I believe that the Lord wants to break boxes that you've been putting him in. He wants to break boxes across the nation that us as believers have put him in. He wants to flow. He wants to just go. So, Father, we thank you that you're breaking every box. You're breaking every box. And, Father, we bless you this morning. If you're ready for God to do something new in your life, lift up a shout. Today, in Jesus' name, I bless you. You can take your seat if you can. I am so excited and honored to be here with you this morning. What a blessing. We want to welcome all of our online viewers on Facebook. If you're tuning in through Facebook, make sure you stay tuned in the whole service, you guys, because God has a powerful thing he wants to do in your life. And I just want to take a moment to honor Pastor Hans. What an amazing man of God. And what an honor it is to be under his leadership here at Fountain of Life. Don't you guys love Pastor Hans? Can we give it up for the Hess family, Sarah, Alex, the worship team up here, Shiloh? We're so blessed. Axel, Brad. And we have the amazing Garna this morning. We're so blessed. We're so blessed this morning. You know, it was 7 years ago when I first stepped foot in Fountain of Life. 7 years ago, I came Pastor Hans mentioned that I've served Pastor Danette Crawford. Does anybody watch our program on Sunday mornings? There's a program, Hope for Today, broadcast every Sunday morning. Pastor Danette Crawford has been doing television ministry for over 20 years, and we reach out in the highest crime areas of our nation, of our cities. And it was 7 years ago today. Talk about full circle. It was 7 years ago today that I came as her armor bearer at a women's conference at Fountain of Life. Well, Miss Barbara Judd, Miss Trina Cooper organized a women's conference, and she came and preached the house down. And she's here today, so can we just honor her for a moment? Love you, Pastor Danette. Thank you for all you've poured into me and my life. You guys, it is so important to find people that can be a mentor, that can pour into your life. It's so important to align yourself with people that are living for the Lord, that are running hard, and take their wisdom. Don't think you know it all, because we don't, right? So I am so excited about the word that I have for you guys today. The worship team, you guys can go ahead and take a seat, but stay close by. I have an exciting word for you today, and I brought my 2020 purse. Has anybody's purse gotten bigger in 2020? You got some more Lysol in your purse? You got that mask in your purse? I saw you trying to go in Walmart, and you were almost at the door, and you realized, oh, I left my mask in the car. Anybody did that this week? Okay, right. So 2020 has been a pretty interesting year for a lot of us, right? So this morning, I have been praying and fasting this week and asking God, what do you want to say? Because I always ask God, what do you want to say to me? And what do you want to say to others? Because it's no good if we just get up here and Google a sermon and say what this is saying and what this other person is saying. I want to hear God for myself. And so as I was praying and I was fasting, the Lord gave me a phrase. And he said, tarry in Jerusalem. Now, is anybody in here named Terry? All right. Nobody's named Terry, but I'm going to explain to you what that phrase means, so you got to hang in. You hear that, Facebook? You got to hang in till the end to hear what it means. But God said a phrase to me, and he said, tarry in Jerusalem. And I want to invite you to go on a journey with me this morning in the Word. So our scripture this morning is going to come from Luke 24. Now, here's the deal. The disciples had walked with Jesus, and they knew that this man is about to turn everything around. This man is about to change life as we know it. But something happened that they didn't quite expect. Jesus was crucified. He was flogged. And when that happened, all of their understanding of what they thought kind of went up in the air. And I believe that many of us in this room have looked at 2020 and we have said, what is going on? Has anybody said that? What is going on? So what happens is the ladies, the hospitality team, anybody in the hospitality team here? Woo, woo, let's give it up for them. Woo, woo, all right. So the ladies on the hospitality team, Mary and Joanna, they're going to the tomb and they're going to fix his body up. They're going to put perfumes on Jesus's body. It's been 3 days. Say 3 days. It's been 3 days. So they're going there and they're fixing stuff up, but Jesus isn't there. He's gone. What? Hold up. He's not there. And so what do? They run back to the disciples. And they say, Jesus isn't there. Jesus isn't there. He's alive. Now, what do you think they did? Yes, Jesus is alive. Nope, nope. The word says that some of them thought they were talking nonsense. Nonsense. Has anybody thought there was some nonsense going on in 2020? What in the world is happening, right? So they couldn't even wrap their minds around it. And so there's two disciples that decided, you know what? We're out of here. We're leaving Dodge. I've had enough of Jerusalem. I just have to take a little break. Has anybody in here had some situations, some things, and you thought, I just got to get out of the house for a little bit? Has anybody said, I think I'm moving to Canada? right? I got to get out of Elizabeth City. Everybody knows me here. What's going on? So here these two disciples are. We're going to pick up in Luke 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Say 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they're leaving Jerusalem. They're like, I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. Anybody with a four-year-old need a bathroom break, right? All right. So here they are. They're leaving Jerusalem. And it says that they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. As I read this, the Lord was speaking to me about some things. Number one, it had only been 3 days since Jesus was crucified. And I can imagine the mood was one that was that of mourning. There was great loss. Has anybody suffered some great loss this year? There was great loss, you guys. And in biblical times, when there was great loss, they would do a couple things. One of the things is that they would wear sackcloth. Now, Macy's didn't have any sackcloth, so you guys can imagine this is my sackcloth. And many of us today, when we mourn, there's black. That's a symbol of mourning. And so you can imagine it had only been 3 days. And so they were still in mourning. They were still upset. There was a heaviness upon them as they were walking. And for many of us, 2020 has been a year of mourning. 2020 has felt like a year of loss. 2020 has felt like a year where things were missing. And that's where these disciples were. And what the word says that they were walking and they were talking about everything that happened. And I believe that some of us in this room have been talking about everything that's been happening. Am I right? Some of y'all are my friends on Facebook, so I know, right? You've been talking about everything that's been happening. Maybe even this morning you had a conversation about everything your child's been doing. Hello? Maybe you were having a conversation about everything that's happening in the nation. You're Googling every 5 minutes what's going on with the election. You're discussing it. You're talking about it. And the thing is, in the midst of their discussion, in the midst of your discussion, if you're not careful, you can miss that Jesus is right there with you. I believe that in this season, so many have felt so utterly alone. You felt all alone. And sometimes when you're discussing, you can feel so alone. You can feel like nobody's with me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And these disciples didn't realize that though they felt alone, Jesus was right there with them. And I have news for you. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is right there with you. He's right there. He's right there. Jesus is with you, even when you don't think he is. The word says Jesus himself came up. Can I tell you, Jesus himself is standing with you. And you're wanting other people to stand with you. Do you not realize that the very one who created the heavens and the earth is standing with you? We're looking for, hey, I'm over here. I need somebody to help. I need someone to pray with you. Wait a minute. Jesus is right here with you, and we don't even recognize it. So let's keep reading. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? Jesus is asking them. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? Jesus asked. Now, wait a minute. Did y'all catch that? Somebody just got smart with Jesus. Somebody just got smart with Jesus. Jesus, do you know what's happening right now? Do you know what's happening in this situation? Jesus, were you the only one that wasn't there? No, actually, he was there the whole time. He's the only one that's been there the whole time. And he knows everything. We have to be careful that in our discussing, we don't lead to despair. in this season, God is saying, wait a minute, stop discussing. Stop discussing, start declaring. Because you're about to discuss yourself right out of some joy. You're about to discuss yourself right out of some happiness. You're about to discuss yourself right out of some peace. But they kept discussing. And so what happens next? We know that Jesus is in it. And this is what they said. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped. We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since it took place. We had hoped. We had hoped. We had hoped. See, they thought things were going to turn out a certain way. They thought it was going to look a certain way, and it didn't turn out quite like they thought. And maybe this morning you've come in a little discouraged, a little frustrated, because you thought things were going to happen in this way. You thought God had said it, and it was going to happen this way. And it didn't happen this way. It happened more like this way. And you're still in the process, and you're disappointed. But God is saying, don't give up yet. See, you can't let your have hope turn into a had hoped. Somebody in this room has let their have hope turned into a had hoped. God wants to resurrect your hope today. Since when did Jesus do it the way we thought he was going to do it? Since when? I mean, hello, he came as a baby in a manger. Who would have thought that was the way he would have came? Would you have picked that way? No, right? Probably not. But you have to know that God is working some things out in your life. And even though it doesn't look like the way you want it to work out, God's not done working. And I declare today, I just believe that many of you have children that you are believing God for, that you are believing that God is going to do something in their life. And things have not looked the way you would have hoped. You said, I didn't raise them this way. What are they doing? I believe there are people in this room, and today God is saying, turn that had hoped around back into a have hope, because I'm not done yet. See, the Lord spoke to me not that long ago, and he said, Crystal, hold tightly to the promise, but loosely to the process. Let me say it again. Hold tightly to the promise, but loosely to the process. Just because it isn't working out the way you thought it was going to work doesn't mean it's not working out. Just because the healing didn't happen in the way and the timing you thought doesn't mean that the healing isn't coming or that it isn't there. Hold loosely to the process. Stop discussing what's happening in the natural and begin declaring what God is doing in the supernatural. They didn't even realize. They're sitting there discussing. Oh, I thought he was raising from that. I thought he was going to come back from the dead. Guess what? He's right there, guys. Guess what? That which you're wasting your energy arguing about has already happened. It happened in the supernatural before it ever happened in the natural. Hope. Hope. Have hope. Have hope. Have hope. Not had hope. Have hope. You know the word hope. Another definition means to trust. So think about it for a moment. The moment we lose our hope is the moment we lose our trust. And we can say we trust God. But if we say we really trust God, there's got to be a hope arising. And I declare over you this morning, no matter what your Jerusalem is, no matter what that place is that was in process, God is not through working. And that hope is arising in you. Your God will see you through. God has seen you through before, and he will see you through again. So they keep talking and they say, in addition, some of our women have amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. This is what Jesus says to them. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them that was what the scriptures said concerning himself. See, we can't be foolish. When we're slow to believe, we're foolish. We're foolish. And too many times in the church, we have people that are calling believers foolish. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Someone said and is declaring faith, and they're coming against your faith. They're discouraging your faith. They're discouraging you from believing. God says, don't be foolish. Believe. I'm not through yet. See, pain comes before the end. Trial comes before the triumph. Suffering comes before the glory. And every woman in here who has had a baby, raise your hand. I see some of y'all raising all the limbs, or you got four or five. And you're raising your hands because you know that pain always comes before the promise. So next time you start to feel pain, and trust me, we all know that when we're standing and we're believing for things, it can be so painful. But God wants you to know this morning that you're about to birth something, that things are about to turn around, that there's a promise that's about to be fulfilled. So don't run from the pain. Oh, kalabashalabata. See, sometimes we don't want the pain, so we get in denial. We stop believing, we stop looking, we shut down, we say, I'm not even dealing with that. But faith says, I'm looking it right in the face. You know, the word says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Why would we need comfort? God is calling you to look some situations in the face where you need comfort, but you can't look away. So let's keep going. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. See, they could have been so caught up in their argument. They could have been so caught up in their argument that they let Jesus go. And the Lord is just, in this day and hour, he doesn't want us as believers to be so caught in our arguments, in our agendas, that we miss what the Holy Ghost is doing. We can let Jesus walk right past us trying to argue our point. But there was something on the inside of Jesus called hope that the people, the two disciples, just couldn't get enough of. And they said, why don't you just stay with us a little bit longer? Don't keep going. And I believe that God is calling you in your workplace, in your home, to be one that has so much hope that even those that disagree with you, even those that don't understand you, are going to say, just come with me a little bit longer. See, my husband and I were having a discussion the other day. Anybody else have any discussions lately? And I knew that I was right in this situation. Right, ladies, you feel what I'm saying? And I went in the other room. I'm like, I know I'm right. So I'm just going to wait till he comes apologize to me. I'm just going to wait here. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost stopped me. And he said, you can have your pride or you can have your peace. You can have your pride or you can have my presence. Oh, Jesus, all right. I'm sorry. You know what? God wants us to be more concerned with his presence than we are with being right. And I believe that many of us are in situations where it's like, is a teenager supposed to be this way, right? What's going on in my marriage? This, that. But God wants his peace and presence to rule. And God will work the rest out. We got to stop talking about Jesus and start talking to him. We got to stop talking about him and start talking to him. Because check it out, they're all talking to Jesus. They don't even know they're talking to him. They're talking into him, but something changes when they say, hold up, sit. Sit with me. Come and sit with me. The word says he sat, which means he abided. He sat with them. He sat with them. He looked eye to eye. He broke bread with them. And then all of a sudden, their eyes were open. We can be so busy commuting that we stop communing. You can't be so busy going where you're going that you forget to commune with the one who is calling you there. So what happens? This is where we're at, y'all. This is where a lot of us are at. But I want to talk to you and finish with where we're going. I want to talk with you about where we're going, because what happened when their eyes were open? What happened when they stopped discussing? What happened when they start sitting with Jesus and they locked eyes with him? Something shifted. Something changed. And the word says in verse 33, they got up and they returned to Jerusalem at once. They got up and they returned at once. And I believe this morning that there are those of us in this room and we've been walking away, but from some of the promises, from some of the things that we've been believing for, whatever your Jerusalem is, and you've been walking away and you've been trying to get some air, and God says, no, I'm not done. Go back. Return to that place. Return to that place of believing. Return to that place of prayer. I'm not through yet. Say, I'm going to return to Jerusalem. Those of you in the chat, type right now, I'm returning to Jerusalem. They returned at once to Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? For some of us, it's a promise. Holy Ghost, drop it in our spirit right now. What is the promise that we've given up on? What is the promise that we just couldn't keep contending for because we're tired? Because it's not looking quite like we thought. For some, it's a place of pain. You know, in that place, Jerusalem, that's where they saw Jesus crucified. That's where they saw him beat and whipped. There's memories there. There's hard things there. It didn't look like I thought there. There's disappointment there. It's hard. But God is calling you back to a place. And I believe even for some, you've dealt with an addiction your whole life. You've dealt with an addiction your whole life and you haven't been able to get free. And God is saying, I want you to go back to that place where that addiction started. And I want you to encounter me. And I want you to let me in that place where the addiction started to fill. We're breaking every addiction in the city of Elizabeth City. We're declaring that drug addiction is defeated in the name of Jesus. We're declaring that overdoses are going to stop in the name of Jesus. And we declare that our churches will be places for healing, that people can come in and get real and deal with the things that they're going on in their lives and not feel ashamed. So for some, Jerusalem is a place of promise. For some, it's a place of pain. But in either case, it's a place where God is not finished yet. God is not finished with your Jerusalem. Whatever your Jerusalem is, write it down. Write it down. You're going to begin declaring over that place. So say, I'm returning to Jerusalem. And say, I'm going to tarry in Jerusalem. I'm going to tarry in Jerusalem. It's not enough just to return to that promise. God wants you to tarry there. God wants you to wait in that place. See, later in the chapter, Luke 24, verse 49, this is the command that Jesus gives the disciples. And he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until. Tarry until. Tarry until. What does it mean to tarry? How often do we talk about tarrying in the body of Christ anymore? it's quick, it's easy. I want a sermon, I want to come in, I want to feel good, I want to get a little prayer of deliverance. But deliverance doesn't always happen in a 2-minute prayer. I believe that God wants determination to rise up in you. And I believe that there's been a discouragement on some because you stood and you prayed a quick prayer and you went home and you said, I'm not delivered. This doesn't work. But God wants you to tarry in that place, like in the Old Testament when the prophet said, I won't let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go, Father, until my son comes back home to Jesus. I'm not going to let go until I don't crave drugs anymore. I'm not going to let go until my nation turns around. I'm not letting go. To tarry means to remain. It means to sit down. It means to rest. See, God isn't just calling you to go to that promise. He's calling you to sit on it. And some of us, if you tarry in this place, but you're not communing with Jesus, what gives me strength to sit at this table is that I'm locking eyes with the Father. I could sit here as long as He wants me to sit here because He's with me. But you know what happens if you sit in that place and Jesus isn't sitting with you and you're not looking at Him? You become straight up grumpy. Some of y'all are so grumpy that you ain't found your spouse yet. Some of you so mad. Oh, do you know the gift on the inside of me? God's put a worship gift and they haven't called me on the stage yet. Can I tell you? I'm locking eyes with the Father. Because when I lock eyes with Him, oh, I can sit here all day long. Because you know what? There's nothing sweeter than the presence of Jesus. But as a church, as a people, if we don't lock eyes with Jesus and we're busy doing stuff, you're going to have the grumpiest greeters and the grumpiest children's workers. We're blessed. We have amazing greeters and amazing children's workers. But I'm just saying in our personal life, we'll be grumpy in our marriages, grumpy at our work. You got to lock eyes with Jesus. You can sit and abide in that place. You can tarry in that place because He's sitting and abiding with you. So we're going to tarry. Say, I'm returning to Jerusalem. And say, I'm going to tarry there. Victory is not just found in your starting, but it's found in your staying. Victory is found not just in your starting, but it's found in your staying. And the more that I walk with the Lord, the less impressed I am with people that can start stuff. And the more impressed I am with people that have been there. Tell me, where's the person that has been here the longest? Tell me, where's the person that has served on the greeting team the longest, that has served in children's ministry the longest? I want them to come and I want them to lay hands on me because there's a generation that God wants to raise up that is no longer in it for convenience, that is in it for covenant, that is in it for commitment, that is in it for the long haul. We honor you today. Those of you that have been with Pastor Hans since the beginning, those with you, of you that have been here for years serving in the background, we honor you today. Because victory is not just in the starting, it's with the staying. You know what I love? God wants expectation to arise in us today. And I don't know what you're believing God for, but I declare that expectation is arising. The story I love, one of the stories I love is the story of the prodigal son. And the word says that the father saw him a long way off. That meant he had to be looking. It may be hard to look at that which you've been waiting for that hasn't happened, but God wants you to fix your gaze in expectation today. I believe if some of you haven't heard from your children, even in a year, you don't even know where they're at. Maybe some of you watching by live stream, you don't even know where your children are at. And I believe that even this holiday season, God wants expectation to arise in you, that He's changing your declaration. Stop saying, they'll never do this. This will never happen. You begin to declare and God's going to shift it. What happens when we tarry? I'm wrapping up and I'm going to tell you what's happening, what's going to be happening in our lives as we reposition ourselves. Number one, great joy. Great joy. You remember how they were downcast? God is shifting it because the word said in Luke 24:52 that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There's a joy coming. They had not yet seen Jesus exalted above everything, but they had had a conversation with him that changed their hope. When you have a conversation with Jesus that changes your hope, you can have great joy. And I declare today that where there has been heaviness and discouragement over you, whether it be because of things in our nation, whether it be because of things in our city, that God is breaking the spirit of heaviness off of you today, that depression has to go. Come on, if you struggle with depression and heaviness, lift your hands right now. Father, we pray for every person in this room that has felt heavy laden, that has felt overwhelmed, that has felt discouraged. God, we break it off right now by the Spirit of the Lord, and we declare that they will have joy. Joy is our portion. Joy is our portion. You should be so happy. People are wondering what you're happy about. And when you don't look happy, you better get your heart to tell your face that Jesus lives there. So great joy is coming. Number two, when we tarry, we join together. The word says they all join together. It wasn't this person and this ministry and that ministry. It wasn't the men and the women, the children. They all joined together. You know, even the women were joined together. Now, that's a big deal back then. Just saying. They all joined together. There's unity. The day of us discussing and talking, wait a minute. God wants to change the way we use our mouths. The day of talking about this person's situation, oh, did you hear what's going on with their children? No, that grieves the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to talk about what's happening with your children. Don't come to me trying to talk about what's happening in somebody else's life. No, let's go to them, but hey, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Come on, we want to come together. We're going to unite. We're going to unite across churches. We're going to unite across the community. We're going to unite across denominations. We're in this thing together. We pray. The word says they all join together constantly in prayer. In this season, we're in a critical season in our nation. We're in a critical season. I believe many of you have children. It's a critical season. And what you say in a critical season makes all the difference. What did they do? They didn't talk about it. They didn't discuss it. They prayed. The way they used their mouth changed. How much are you using your mouth to talk about situations? And how much are you using your mouth to talk to God about situations? There's a shift. Prayer is the most important thing. There's no power without it. We discover that God has given us what we need. In this season of tarrying, we're going to discover that God has given us what we need. Can you imagine? This is a season of mourning. And I know even this morning, the Lord was telling me that he wants to break the heaviness of mourning off of so many because we've lost loved ones. It's been in some senses, it's been just a year we didn't expect, and there's been mourning. And can you imagine the disciples there in that room? There were 11 and there was one missing. There was one missing. And they didn't think that person would ever be missing. There was betrayal. There was hurt. There was pain. There was a hole. There was a gap. And many of us have lost loved ones this year, and it just feels like, or maybe you've lost a business. And it feels like there's such a hole, God. There's such, what? We didn't see this. We didn't think this was going to happen this way. Judas was supposed to be here with us. But in that moment, and in this moment for you, God wants you to know that he's given you what you need. In Acts 1:21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time. The Lord Jesus was living among us. they didn't have to outsource what they needed. What they needed had been with them the whole time. And I believe that there's been things where you have felt such incredible loss. And in this season, God wants you to know, yes, this may not have been what you thought. Yes, this doesn't look quite like you planned. But what you need, I have. And it's been with you the whole time. And I believe that in this day and hour, that God is raising up men and women that have been there the whole time. There are men and women here in Fountain of Life. You've been here the whole time. And God is about to pour out a fresh anointing on you to do what needs to be done for the new season. We have what we need. Now think, those people, they could have left. Those people that were here the whole time, they could have been, oh, they don't recognize the gifts on the inside of me, I'm gone. They could have got offended, I'm gone. But God is raising up people in this hour that had been there the whole time. The whole time. God is repositioning you for such a time as this. And close this. Why do we tarry? Why are we waiting? Why are we waiting? What are we even waiting for? We're locking eyes with Jesus. And you see this garment of mourning. When I was backstage, the Lord told me, he said, I'm breaking the heaviness of grief. I'm breaking the heaviness of grief. There's been a heaviness that you have felt that you could not shake. And this morning, God says, I'm breaking the heaviness of grief. I understand that the pain is real, but there's a heaviness that you have felt, and God is about to replace that heaviness, that weightiness of grief with the weightiness of his glory. There is a weightiness of glory. Garna, there's a weightiness of glory on you, brother. I believe that God is breaking off mourning, heaviness. God is breaking off heaviness. God is breaking off heaviness. Because here's what the word says, you guys. Power from on high. We're going to tarry because the Lord is going to endue us. What does it mean to be endued? It means that God is about to clothe us. God is about to clothe us with a power from on high. I declare today that the heaviness of grief, the heaviness of loss that you have felt in this season is breaking because God is about to put on you a garment of praise. God is about to change your garment. It's about to be one of power. You're not going to walk in a room and people say, oh, she's the one who lost her child. She's the one who just lost this or lost that. Oh, no, I tell you, Fountain of Life, your garment of power is about to be put on. God is putting a garment, a garment of power, and it can't be contained in a little service. It can't be controlled. It can't be boxed in. God is causing us to break the box. We're breaking the box this morning. There's a prophetic flow in this house. There is so much prophetic flow, so much prophetic anointing on this team right here. And we declare that in this season, there's going to be release of the prophetic song. It's not going to be contained. It's not going to be squelched. It's going to be released. God wants to change your garment. He wants to change your pity to power. He wants to change your pity to power. Listen, in Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah said, and Jesus said many of these verses himself, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you because the Lord has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. It's not about us, guys. It's not about our pain. It's not about our thing. It's about what God wants to do to the hurting. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To comfort all who mourn. There's a comfort that only the Holy Ghost can give you. If you need comfort, come on, no matter what the situation, it looks different from every person right now. Lift up your hands. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, right where you're at, just tarry. Just ask God to fill you. Oh, there's comfort coming. God, comfort us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to your people. You know the word that they need to hear right now. There's a comfort. And the word says, and to provide for those who grieve. Whatever you lost, you've sustained. God is providing. God is providing for you in your moment of pain and loss and disappointment. And to bestow on them a crown of beauty. Instead of ashes, the oil of joy. The oil of joy. Instead of a spirit of despair, and a garment of praise. Holy Ghost, we need you. Holy Ghost, we need you. Come on, all over this room. Wherever you're at, or if you want to come up to the front, God wants you to tarry just a little bit longer. There's things you're believing God for. Come on, there's things you're believing God for. We're not here to judge you. We're not judging one another. We're not criticizing one another. Come on, maybe you need to grab somebody's hand and say, you know what? I talked about your situation, but now I'm going to come believe with you for your daughter. I'm going to come believe for your son. Come on, if you've had despair and you want that thing to break off of you, come on, just come around front or right where you're at and lift up your hands to Jesus. Now is the time to return and remain. Those of you watching by live stream and all over this place, the number one place that you need to return, that we must return, is to having Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe you did but you've fallen away, maybe you've been living in a life that you don't even like anymore, but today is your day to return. If that's you, wave your hand. If you just want to return, maybe you want a fresh commitment to Him. If you're watching by live stream, type in right now, I'm returning. I'm returning. I'm returning. And just repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you're God's son, that you died on the cross and you rose again for me. And today I return. Today I return. Today I return. In Jesus' name. And for those of you that have been discouraged, right now we're going to pray that you return to that place called Jerusalem for you. And we're going to believe with you all over this place. Lift our hands. Come on, let's lift our hands. Holy Ghost, come. Come on, just let Him speak to you. You just open your mouth, begin praying. Come on, you know what it is that you need. You know what it is that's been heavy, that's been weighty, that you haven't understood. All over this place, come on, let's tarry. Let's tarry just a few minutes longer. Come on, just tarry. God wants you to get your fight back. You've lost your fight. God wants you to get your fight back. Not fighting in the natural, but fighting in the spirit. God wants you to get your prayer fight back. Oh, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for breakthrough. We thank you today for breakthrough. We thank you that faith is rising up. God, we thank you that heaviness is breaking off. Heaviness is breaking off. We're changing garments. Those things that have been heavy, that have been like a weighted blanket, that pain, that disappointment, we're shaking off. We're shaking off. And God, we thank you for power. You're endowing us with power. God, power in our workplace. Power. power with our children, power in ministry, power as a community. God, we stand in the gap for Elizabeth City. Come on, stand in the gap right now for Elizabeth City. Let's pray right now for Elizabeth City. God, we stand in the gap for Elizabeth City. And God, we thank you that there's an outpouring coming. There's an outpouring coming. And God, that we're uniting as believers, as churches, as ministries, as those who want to see your spirit poured out. And God, we thank you for revival in the highways and the byways. God, bring in the addicted. Bring in the discouraged. God, we prepare ourselves for a new wave. A new wave. A new wave. A new wave. A new wave.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.